verse number 1 of chapter 15, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. Those are two good words, near and hear. If we get near him and hear him, that'll help us, amen. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. I'll just say this, anybody that gets near him or determines to hear him will find somebody hanging around that don't like that. Amen. You'll find out in the Christian life that if you get a hold of God and God gets a hold of you and you begin to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus, and many will love it, many will like it, but many will not. Amen. They'll be determined to hinder your growth. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either, what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I thank you tonight for the privilege to be here in the house of God. I thank you, Lord, tonight for the privilege to read the Bible and hear the songs of Zion. God, tonight I need your help as I try to magnify just a few truths tonight, Lord, from the Word of God, this passage. I pray, Lord, you'd speak to our hearts and that, Lord, we would be mindful of what the Holy Spirit of God would say to the church this evening. Father, I pray if there would be someone here lost, Lord, that you would be so kind as to speak to their heart. Help them, Lord, and draw them, Lord, to saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Father, I pray now that you'll have your way and help us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. This morning we looked at this parable of the lost son in the end of the chapter. And I really didn't know that the Lord would have me to back up into the chapter tonight, but I believe that's how he's directing my heart. And I know that the Lord makes no mistakes. This morning we saw in the latter part of the chapter, if I was going to break it down, we saw the young man that went off into the far country and was saved. Later he come to himself and he come home to his father, and his father received him. And I would call that the welcome or the welcoming of the Father. I'm glad tonight that God pictures that for us. I'm glad our Lord told us, he that cometh to me, he said, I'll in no wise cast out. I almost believe that thief was shocked when he looked over at Jesus and said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. I believe he might have been shocked when the Lord looked back at him and said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. This man receiveth sinners and he eats with them. The Pharisees didn't like it then and they don't like it now. They never have. Amen.
And I'll remind you tonight that it's the religious crowd in Jesus' day that gave him a hard time. It wasn't that crowd of sinners. It was that crowd of so-called saints. That crowd of externals. They had it right on the outside, but they were all wrong on the inside. I'm reminded of what a man said years ago. It stuck in my heart. He said, why? He said, going to church wouldn't make a person a Christian any more than standing in a garage would make him an automobile. Amen. Christianity is something that's inward. Amen. It's something that happens on the inside. We looked at the welcome of the Father this morning. I want to look back now on these first two parables in this chapter, the parable of the sheep and the parable of the Son, and look at a couple of truths here that I believe will be a help and be a blessing. In this first parable here, I want to see the will of the Father. The Bible said he spake this parable and he said, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? I found out in the Bible that God has a will. There's a lot of things in life that we need to pray about concerning his will. But there's one thing you don't have to pray about concerning his will, and that is the salvation of a lost soul. The Bible said it's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I can read that verse of Scripture and know this, that every time an individual leaves this world without God, without being born again, without being saved by the grace of God, and lifts their eyes in the region of the damned, every time that happens, it happened against the will of God. It was not God's will. I'm not going to get into the entire doctrine tonight, but you can get into the tulip theory of Calvinism. And they'll tell you that it's a total depravity and limited atonement. And they'll tell you that listen, there are those that are predestined for glory and those that are predestined for hell. I say there's not an ounce of truth in that. Our Savior died for the sin of the world. My friend, hell was created for the devil and for his angels. And the Bible said hell hath enlarged herself. Every time somebody goes there, my friend, it gets a little bigger. And God is saying, I didn't make this place for you. I made it for the devil and his angels. We see the will of the Father. Turn in 1 Timothy chapter 2 for just a moment. Let me paint this picture here. Some will say, well, you know what? Whoever he wills. Well, I just want to tell you this tonight. I believe with all of my heart, the Bible said, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2. He said, I exhort therefore in verse 1 that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Look at that word all. For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Watch this now. Look at verse 4. Our Savior will have all men, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself, look at this now, I don't see any limit in this, he gave himself a ransom for all. The Bible said we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. And tonight, when you go to talking about the will of the Father, we need to understand that here in this parable, he's talking about a lost sheep. It reminds me of the story of David. I need to brush up on it a little bit, but I know that there was a bear that came and a lion that came. And when David was talking to Saul about going out to face Goliath, and he said, "Thy servant slew the lion and slew the bear." They took a lamb from the flock. And David didn't just sit back and say, "Well, they just got one. I believe I'll stay here with the rest of them." No. This pictured right here in the Bible. The good shepherd leaves the 99 and goes out there after that one. Oh, hallelujah. That Sunday night in February 1987 when God said, "You're the one. I love you. I died for you. I gave my life for you." Listen to me carefully. It's one thing to say that Jesus died for the sin of the whole world, and that's the truth. That's Bible truth. That'll always be the truth. But I tell you what, how blessed it is when God brings it home and says, "Son, I died for you. If you'd have been the only one, I would have died for you." Tonight we see the will of the Father. Listen tonight. The Bible said in Matthew chapter 9 and verse number 12, "They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick." You said, "Preacher, what's that verse there trying to say?" Well, Jesus is talking to this same crowd, the Pharisees. They didn't think they needed healing. They didn't think they needed saving. They didn't think they needed a Savior. But Jesus said, "They that be whole, they don't need a physician." I don't know about you, but I don't take kindly just running to the doctor to see what's up. Amen. But when I get sick, if I can't get better, say amen. I'm going to hunt me a doctor. Well, I had something my friend the doctor couldn't cure. It was a sin problem. And I had to run to the great physician that I might be cured, that I might be healed. The Bible said in Romans chapter 3, there's none good. No, not one. Not even you, preacher. Especially me. When the Holy Ghost gets a hold of you, that's the way you'll feel about it too. Amen. None good. No, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I like what Brother Danny Sykes, he was my pastor for 10 years. When I was with Rock of Ages, I like what he said when he said this. He said, "When I met Jesus," he said, "I was awful good at sinning. But he said he is better at saving than I was at sinning." Amen. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad we have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ? Amen. The will of the Father. The Bible said in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 8 and verse number 9, "For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast." You know, tonight, I have a cup up here. It says Mr. and Mrs. And it says 9/28/13. Anybody know anything about happened on that day? There better be one man in here that don't ever forget it. Amen. Well, this cup's mine. And I can give it to whoever I want to. It's a gift. That's the day that my daughter Charity said yes to that thing back there sitting alongside of her. Now that makes somebody a nice gift. Some of the folk in the church got one, but everybody didn't get one. It's mine, and I want to give it away tonight. Anybody want it? Who'd like to have that? It's nice. Does anybody want it? Would anybody come and get it? Don't everybody run up here at the same time. You want it, brother? No, I don't want you to give it back to me. I don't want you to. That's the way you work. Well, that ain't the way God works. You see, when God gives us something, I mean, he's got the picture now, amen? Brother, I got one at home, you see. This one's mine, I can give it away, and I'm giving it away. You want it, Brother Larry? You want it? I want you to have it, Brother Larry. Amen. You don't have to give it back to me. I got my own. Guess what? With the gift of God, Brother Larry? Yeah, I know it is, brother. More blessed to give than it is to receive. Well, one person wanted it. Ain't that about the way it is with the gift of God? You say, preacher, why don't everybody get in on it? Because everybody don't want in on it. It's offered to all. But we must come and receive. We must take. Amen. We must receive. You know, Brother Larry, you quoted that verse of Scripture, and that's the truth. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. But you know what? God showed me one time I preached on this subject. It is blessed to receive. It's more blessed to give, but it's blessed to receive. By the way, you can't have a giver without a receiver. Amen? Every one of us that are saved by the grace of God got started not by giving, but by receiving. We receive the Lord as our Savior. Amen? And our friend. The will of the Father. It's painted. The picture is painted here. He said, which one of you, if you had 100 sheep and one of them was out there in the wild, which one of you would not go, leave the 99 and go after that one? He said, when you found it. Boy, I like this part. Said you put it up on your shoulders. You know how we're all going to get carried home? On the shoulders of grace. Our Lord is going to see to it that we make it home when we've trusted Him as our Savior. The Bible said in Titus, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy hath He saved us. The will of the Father is for all men to be saved. Well, watch this. Not only the will of the Father, but look in verse number 8 down through verse number 10. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. I never had thought about this before. I believe I studied this about a year or so back, and the thought came to my mind. 10 pieces of silver. How many knows what one piece out of 10 would be? A tithe. Now, I don't know that that's the way this is painted out here, but I know that one piece out of 10 is a tithe. And I know that somebody loves God, the tithe is important. Now, she's missing that one piece. I heard a little story one time about a little boy that was walking down the road and he had 2 quarters. He's flipping them up in the air like that. A man walked up alongside of him and he said, son, what you got there? He said, I got 2 quarters. He said, what you going to do with them? He said, well, I got one for the Sunday school offering and I got one for ice cream after church. He said, son, that's good. He said, I'm proud of you. About that time, that little boy dropped one of them quarters and it rolled down the storm drain. He said, well, Lord, there went your quarter. This woman may not have been looking at it like that. Amen. She's searching diligently. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say here? Listen, not only do you see the will of the Father, but you see the work of the Father. Hey, He came to seek and to save that which was lost. You didn't go where He was until He first came where you were. You see the work of the Father. God always initiates the work. She searches diligently till she found it. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. I was talking to Brother Wayne the other day, and he was very concerned. The hearing device that they just fitted him with, it was bothering him, and he was already sick with what was going on in his body. And that was bothering him too, And so in the car, he thinks he took it off. He thinks he knows where he put it, but he can't find it. And I offered it. And I said, Brother Wayne, I'll go. I said, I got a flashlight on my smartphone. I said, I'll go and I'll look for it. He said, my son's coming. I'll get him to go look for it. I could tell it was bothering him. Listen, it wouldn't mean anything else to anybody in Johnson City, but it meant a lot to him. I'll tell you, you may not mean anything much to this world, but you mean a lot to him. Your children mean a lot to him. My children mean a lot to him. And he will seek and he will work till diligently he finds them. Oh, beloved friend, I see the work of the Father. The Bible said he came to seek and to save that which was lost. I was in a prison one time, and this is not original with me, but a fellow run up to me and said, preacher, I found the Lord. And I'd heard a preacher say this years ago. He said, I didn't know he was lost. Amen. I know what a man means or a woman means when she says, I found the Lord. Used to, listen, years ago, people would say, I got religion. And it meant something. It was pure and undefiled religion. Amen. It meant something when they said that. Everybody knew what that meant. That meant there was a life-changing experience. Amen. That they had trusted Christ as their Savior. Tonight, the parable shows us here, not only does the Father welcome sinners, but the will of the Father is to save sinners. And the work of the Father is pictured in that diligent seeking. Thank God Jesus said, I'm going to go away, but I'm going to send another comforter. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And aren't you glad? Thank God. He's still doing his office work in this day, in this hour. We might be in the times of gleaning. I've heard preachers seem like they're complaining about that. Just give me a little corner in his field and let me glean till he comes. We may not see a large harvest, a great harvest. But I tell you what, it's a thrill to my soul to glean in the harvest of our Lord. I want to say this. Thank God at least I'm in the right field. I'm not in the field I used to be in. Amen. At least I have the right master. The work of the Father. The Bible said he came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Turn with me if you will in your Bibles to the book of Acts for just a moment. I'll be finished up tonight. Acts chapter number, right over there where Brother Brian was this morning in Sunday school. Acts chapter 17. I want to read a passage of scripture in your hearing tonight. Paul was stirred up about what he saw at Athens. In verse number 16, I'm not going to read the entire passage, but there, Brother Brian read this morning, the Bible said Paul waited for them at Athens. His spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. I don't know about you, but if you're paying any attention to the news, there's some things that stir me up in this generation too. Say amen. I'm not going to go into all that. I want to try to stay in the spirit when I'm preaching. He saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Paul stood in verse 22 in the midst of Mars Hill and he said, you men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you're too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship. Him declare I unto you. Watch this now. They had their idols. They were given to idolatry. But they were just thinking, in case we forgot one, we'll just put up a little monument here, an altar to the unknown God. Paul said, God that made the world and all things that are there. And how many believes that tonight? Seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, he dwelleth not in temples made with hands. By the way, I need to just stop and say this. I believe most of us know this, but this is not the temple of God. The believer's body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And the last time I checked, he don't just dwell in the believer's body on Sunday. He dwells in us on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, every day of the week. The Bible tells us here, he's Lord of heaven and earth. He dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything. Seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. Let me ask you a question. How in the world, I'm going to use the word Mary, or how in the world do you reconcile verses of Scripture that says, like over in Isaiah, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, with verses of Scripture that says, there's no man that seeketh after God? Well, it wasn't easy for me either. But I tell you, there is a logical explanation. When he's seeking after you, that sure is a good time to seek after him. He always initiates it. Are you listening to me? Amen? The Bible said, seek the Lord, if happily you might find him. But what my point is that he's the one that comes seeking first. That's why it's all of grace. Let me just say this. Cornelius in Acts chapter 10 was acting on all the light that he had. And God did not hold that against Cornelius. He told Peter, he said his alms and his prayers have come up before God for a memorial. Cornelius was doing all that he knew that he could do. God does not hold that against an individual. I say hallelujah when we're acting on all the light that God gives us. God will give us more light. When somebody over there in a foreign country, instead of bowing down and worshiping the moon, begins to stand there and think somebody hung that up there. Amen. Begins to think that somebody put those stars and that sun. Somebody told that ocean where to stop. Somebody grew the trees and the grass. And they begin to seek and wonder, who is that creator? God will give them more light. I believe that. But when they begin to bow down and worship the creation instead of the Creator, darkness comes. Here in the Bible, we see the work of the Father. Watch this now. That they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God. Watch this. We ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. Now watch this. God said that was a time of ignorance. And once God winked at it. But now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Let me give you this tonight. Please listen to me carefully. We are God's creation through our first birth. We are the offspring of God through our first birth, created in the image of God. We are God's creation through our first birth, but the only way we'll ever be God's children is through another birth, through a second birth. A spiritual birth, a natural birth makes us his creation, but I'll tell you, it takes a spiritual birth to make us his children. That's why Jesus told Nicodemus, a very religious man, you must be born again. Look at it with me for just a moment. Tonight, I'm almost done. The Bible said here in Acts chapter number 17, I'm trying to get to a little point down here. He said he has appointed a day in verse 31 in which he will judge the world in righteousness. How many believe judgment's coming? By that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men. You say, preacher, how in the world do you know that Jesus is going to be the judge and going to judge this world? Here's my assurance in that he, God, raised him, Jesus, from the dead. Just as sure as Jesus got up, the third and appointed day, judgment's coming to this earth. Judgment's coming. I don't know about you. Hey, don't nobody like to hear much about that, but I'm going to tell you something right now. If I was going down 11W and something had happened to that bridge that goes over that river down there, I sure would have appreciated if somebody would flag me down before I drove off in that river and tell me, listen, there's danger. That bridge is out. That bridge is collapsed. If something don't happen to the infrastructure in America, there's going to be a lot more of them collapsing. I'm telling you, they weren't built to last forever. They need to be maintained. You say, preacher, what's that got to do with preaching judgment? That preacher's doing you a favor. He's telling you the bridge is out. He's telling you you better come to Calvary. You better get under the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You better be saved because the bridge is out. Watch this now. When they heard of the resurrection of the dead. Brother Brian, I'm just trying to pick up on this a little bit here. It looks like they was doing all right till he got down to there. When they heard of the resurrection of the dead, they began to mock. It was like it was a joke. Can I tell you something right now? There's an outfit running around the world that's telling you when you die, it's over. That's a lie. That's a lie. That's a lie. Are you listening to me? When we die, eternity begins. There's a whole lot of people going to wish to God it was over when they die, but it'll never be over. There was a time when you and I were not, but there will never be a time when we cease to be. We're going to be somewhere. Forever. Somewhere. Forever. The Bible, when they heard of the resurrection of the dead. And by the way, there's a good point to be made right there. Get around a good old ear-tickling preacher and an ear-tickling church, amen. There probably won't be much objection. But get around where the gospel of the Lord Jesus is being preached. How that he died for our sin according to the scripture. He was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scripture. Somebody won't like that. Bunch of narrow-minded. Yeah, we like the blood in this book. We like the blood in this book. I got one of them there. Rock of Ages study Bibles. We like the blood in it. Brother Frankie got that Spanish Bible. The blood's in it. And as long as we stay around here, praise God, the blood will stay in all of it. It's the blood. Watch this now. I like this. Right here, in my heart and in my mind, is a perfect picture of the response even today to the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Some mocked. Some mocked. When those children, I say children now because I'm 55 years old, but when those teenagers in that high school, over 2,000 teenagers in that high school, but when those five and sometimes six teenagers gathered around that flagpole and held hands every morning and prayed, I will guarantee you that some mocked. I'm going to say this. I'm not bragging on myself, but thank God my mom and daddy raised me a little bit better than that. Though I didn't get in the circle with them, and though I wasn't saved, I tell you, I was afraid to mock somebody that loved Jesus. Afraid. But here's the crowd I fit into. Some said, "We'll hear thee again of this matter." I knew that my heart had never been made right with the Lord. I knew I did not have what they had. But in my mind, that's somewhere down the road. Somewhere down the road. I personally believe the devil never tells anybody not to be saved. He just says, not now. Not now. You got plenty of time. Not now. How do you say it? I say it like this. Hell is full of good intentions. People that intended to get right with God. People that intended. The Bible said some mocked. Others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. So Paul departed from among them. Now this is the way I see it here. Some are laughing at the old preacher. If you study about the life of the Apostle Paul, he wasn't much to look at. Many think that his eyes, if you read after Joseph, they bulged. They like were obnoxious to even look at. He wasn't much to look at in stature. And many times, my friend, listen, it's hard to get past that. But here's the man of God, and he's being mocked. And some are saying, you know what? We'll give that some thought. And one day we may do something about that. Some are saying, we'll hear thee again. Come back sometime, preach to us again, preacher. Come back and tell us about that sometime. And so Paul, he turns from the crowd, and he's going away. Hallelujah. Just reminded me of the night that I got saved by the grace of God. It was as if he was going away. And if I didn't latch on this time, I wasn't going to latch on at all. Amen. And listen, he came to where I was, but I went to where he was. I could not come to where he was. He came to me. But I was determined that night not to let him walk off. And the Bible said, watch this now. Howbeit certain men... You say, preacher, what do you mean, certain men? Why would it say it like that? God knows every name. He knows every individual that mocked. He knows every individual that put it off. But he knows every individual that ran to the Apostle Paul. And the Word of God said, clave unto him. And they believed on the Lord. He knows every individual. I see the will of the Father. I see the work of the Father. Thank God when somebody responds to the Father, they're welcomed in the family of God. I don't know about you tonight, but it ain't no wonder. That might not be good English. Now, I'm not famous for good English. But it ain't no wonder there was rejoicing in the presence of the angels. Over one sinner that repenteth. More than 99 just persons who need no repentance. I know this tonight. I know I'm where I'm supposed to be, and I know I'm doing what God wants me to do. But let me just say this to you tonight. How many believes that even a pastor ought to have a heart for souls? Oh, down through the years, here and there, somebody'd say something like this, he just needs to be an evangelist. You know what I say? It's enough for you to know the will of God for your life. Leave that to me and him. Say amen. And I'll leave that will of God for your life to you and him. Amen. The pastor can do the work of an evangelist. You say, preacher, I don't know why you said all that, because I don't believe there's anything nearer to the heart of God than the souls of men. You can call it missions. You can call it visitation. You can call it soul winning. You can call it Sunday school. You can call it worship. You call it whatever you want to. But if it's after and reaching after the souls of men, our Heavenly Father is for it. He's for it. Because he's interested in the souls of men. He's willing to leave the 99. Go out yonder. I remember well the night when I said, it's not my brother And it's not my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It was no longer that he had died for everybody's sin, but all of a sudden it was that the likes of him loved the likes of me and gave his life that I could have life and have it everlasting. What a blessing. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for the privilege to be here. Thank you, God, for these three parables that tell us that this man receiveth sinners. Lord, I'm glad even in this generation, you're still receiving sinners. Lord, you love them. And Lord, I'm glad tonight that you put a love in my heart for people, for the saints of God, for those that don't yet know Christ, Lord. Thank you for the love that you put in our hearts. Thank you for a church, Lord, that doesn't just want to come inside four walls and forget about the rest of the world and the rest of our community. Thank you for a church, Lord, that realizes, Lord, you're still leaving the 99, going out there after one. Lord, some missionaries are working on fields where people are getting saved by the scores. And some, Lord, have to labor 10 years for one soul. Lord, it's not about the numbers. It's about the souls. Lord, what would a man give in exchange for his soul? What would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lost his own soul? Lord, tonight I pray, stir our hearts. Lord, if there's someone here tonight that's never been born again, I pray this message would find a lodging place in their heart. They'd realize that the kind, good shepherd, Lord, is seeking after them. That, Lord, it is not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Father, tonight, I pray, Lord, you'd help us to get closer to you. Lord, there's been a few times that I've been able, Lord, just to know that you were leading the way and see you do great things, Lord, as a result. God, I pray there be more of those times in our lives when we be sensitive, Lord, to the breath of the Holy Spirit. Lord, know when to speak and how to speak and what to speak and where to speak, who to speak to. Lord, sometimes maybe just a kind deed. Sometimes just a kind word. Help us, Lord, to realize that the good shepherd wants to use the sheep that we might see other sheep birthed into the family of God. Lord, we love you tonight. Help us, we do pray.